So I had time, plenty of time to prepare. But I was thinking, I can't do this. And so, God, it's not my will, but God's will be done. Inner devotional on January the 2nd, I was going to call him and say, I can't do this. But, bear with me, this was the devotional. What's your story? And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5:11. Now just, God was not done with me yet. You see, in the rest part, let me just read part of it. It's easy to downplay one's testimony when comparing it to the riveting testimonies of others. But the truth is that each testimony has power. That's not enough. God had more to say. As you meditate on Christ and His sacrifice for you, joy will fill your heart. You will not be able to keep your story to yourself as you celebrate all Christ has done for you. That's still not enough. When we share Christ, the truth behind our transformation, we are offering people an opportunity to be transformed. If you're not sure, because this was part of it, I don't know what to say. I don't know where to begin. Oh, but the devotional took care of that too. It said, where to start? These four questions. Offer an outline for sharing your testimony. So now I will follow this example, word for word. Don't wait to share your story. Your life has been transformed. Celebrate and share your story. So it is that I come to that. And this testimony that God has given begins for me, bear with me as I attempt to do this, upside down. Props help it move. This will help you stay focused. And so it asked, what, question one was, what was life like before you were saved? E is for empty and purposeless. Let me share a little background, kind of history, baggage that we all come with. My brother Lloyd, who is 5 years older than me, and I were raised in a single-parent home by our mother. Our parents divorced when I was a baby. My brother and I have no memory of a father. We grew up in a rented second-floor apartment of my mother's biological father and second wife's home. We called them Pop and Grandmother. When the money Mom earned working with my grandmother as a seamstress was inadequate and I reached school age, Mom went to work starting at, you may remember this, some of us, Social Cone Department Store. My mother was a very moral, strong in character and will, independent, determined, dogmatic woman. Mom had a contagious laugh and was well thought of. Truth and telling the truth was paramount to her. She would say, tell me anything. I will be there for you, no matter what. Just don't lie to me. And Mom wanted us to be able to stand on our own 2 feet. Respect for authority, loyal to family, and a dependable work ethic were all life-molding influences. In retrospect, I recognize I was undoubtedly way too sensitive. I took everything to heart. Comments like, your birth was an accident, became a compounding negative. Somewhere in the teen years, an ugly, inferior superiority complex. Developed, and my actions and attitudes were self-defeating and destructive. My life appeared directionless, worthless, and I had no purpose. Question two of this outline, when did you believe in Jesus? So I'm going to put out my second letter, hopefully a bit more successfully than the first. And it's L. For love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. When preparing this testimony, I recognized very clearly in hindsight being 2020, my search was in the sovereignty of God. So when did I believe in Jesus? Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to this conglomeration of church experiences. For at least 17 years, I lived across the street, like a four-minute walk, from a Protestant church. Heard the church bells, saw people go in and out, watched weddings. My mother and grandparents rarely attended church there. My brother and I inconsistently attended Sunday school. Along with other activities, my brother earned Eagle Scout status. I do remember being involved in Vacation Bible School and being a part of classes about church membership. Did I believe in Jesus? Was I reborn again? Not yet. Then another significant influence occurred. My mother, who I suspect must have been searching for Jesus, began attending and took my brother and I to a Christian Science church. My mother's interest became quite intense. She studied and was mentored in studying the Bible through Keys to the Scripture by Mary Baker Eddy. I remember I attended Sunday school there. I remember being taught God is love, mind over matter. My manifestations of this perspective were astonishingly revealed in two instances. The first incident occurred when I was hit by a car, obviously not too hurt, because I got myself up, walked home about four houses down from the street, and told my mother it was mind over matter and I am okay. The poor driver of the car insisted I get checked out at the hospital. A few bruises, but I was fine. The second incident took place in our own backyard when my brother and I created a home version of an amusement park ride, where I sat on a furniture dolly that had rope attached to it and a hook on one side. My brother stood in the center of the yard holding the rope to the dolly, and he would turn around and around. This swung me in a circular motion on the bumpy concrete. Well, guess what? The rope broke. And I went into a glass gallon jug that was sitting in the garage entrance. The jug broke and slashed my arm. Needless to say, there was a great deal of bleeding. Nevertheless, my brother and I went into the house and proceeded to use an entire box of gauze to push the wound back together. And then we went back outside to play. Shortly thereafter, my mother happened to glance out back and could not believe the sight of a blood-soaked bandage on my arm. Immediately, my mother, against my protest, saying God would heal it, and took my brother and I to the doctor's office. The doctor stitched with needle and thread the flesh of my arm together in his office. To this day, I think he must have done this procedure without anesthetic. The wound healed just fine, no infections, and shortly thereafter, we stopped attending the Christian Science Church. Did I believe in Jesus? I believed in a God who could heal. For a time, my mother attended a Disciples of Christ church. A failed marriage took place for me, and years passed, and the feelings of inadequacy and worthlessness, failure remained. but I learned to hide them. Then God brought honey into my life. He convinced me I am lovable. We were married in August of 1969. My knight in shining armor loved me, and my love for him deepened. We attended the Disciples of Christ Church regularly. The Bible was being taught. But did I believe in Jesus? Not yet. We wanted children, but this did not happen right away. It took 5 years. Our precious daughter Joy was born in 1974. Did I lose one? That's just me. Okay, the next letter is C. E-L-C. Now, that stands for count your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Did I believe in Jesus? Not quite yet. A turning point was through accepting an invitation of a dear friend to join a Bible study at her house with another friend, and that became the turning point. Her friend Elaine opened the scriptures, explained applications of his word. Elaine would greet me with a holy kiss and told me about God's love for me and her love for me. I asked myself, how could this be? Only mom and my mother would or could love me, truly love me. Elaine explained John 3:16. I actually heard and slowly but surely understood the gospel. So, you can imagine. The next letter is A. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I can see. Elaine told me about radio stations that shared the gospel and played Christian music. The reality that God doesn't make junk, that my conception and birth was not an accident, Elaine had me read Psalm 139. That became a life-changing verse. You remember it's about knowing in your mother's womb. So I knew then I was not an accident. Unlike the stories in the Unshackled program, my reborn again experience was a slow process. So, question 3. There are only 4. Bear with me. What has life been like since then? I need to put the letter R. And the R stands for Rock of Ages. Let me hide myself in thee. With tears of joy, true joy, streaming down my cheeks, I became reborn again. I asked Jesus to forgive me of all my sins and asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Now I really had a Father who really loves me, forgives me, and is always with me. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, talk about hunger and thirst. I could not get enough. The radio was on 24/7, upstairs and downstairs. My family heard it, whether they wanted to or not. At one point, I was involved in 4 different Bible studies. I knew we had to find a true word, God's Word, Bible-believing church, they clearly preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we left the Disciples of Christ. And then the Next letter. The next letter is I, because it took a miracle. We know that song, don't we? It took a miracle. Oops. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. My Father became real. The scriptures came alive. His Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see, and ears to hear, and heart to understand. Bible study fellowship was another powerful tool that God used to help me grow in my faith and walk with the Lord. The I also became I surrender all. Where there was so much focus on me, my inadequacies, my failures, it became life-changing, for I learned how to die to self, to surrender to Jesus Christ. Life since believing in Jesus has been absolutely phenomenal. My walk with him, I am never alone. And no matter what has taken place, I learned deep peace and contentment because God led me through. Final question. The final question was, how are you growing in your faith today? Well, the sanctification process is a daily, moment-by-moment. Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Reflecting on how God answered prayers when our adopted precious daughter, Faith, from Korea, God brought her here and then comforted us and protected us, her, when she left us at 18 years of age. The heartbreak and then how the relationship is going through a restoration process is an answer to prayer. Remembering how God comforted and gave us wisdom when the deaths of both of our mothers took place within 24 hours of one another. Leading as God leads and provides through Hun's disease, with still challenges. Making daily prayer, Bible reading, meditating, looking for and recognizing and thanking God for the countless answers to prayer. The end. Is a hymn that, the end is a hymn that you all know, and it's my tribute. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me? The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, for the things he has done with me. With his blood, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just Let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary.